The book of Psalms is the songbook of the Bible, songs for our soul. Last week we looked at Psalm 115, which I thought was a really great way to start church together. Verse 1 says, "Not to us, Lord, not to us, but to your name be the glory because of your love and faithfulness." That's a really great verse and a really great psalm. This week we're looking at Psalm 103. And one of the things that this psalm does is draw a beautiful picture of God. It draws a picture of God for us. So to kick us off, we're going to watch a short clip that raises the question, how do you picture God? Check it out. There's some really interesting quotes in that clip, isn't there? I wonder if any of them resonate with you at all. Does life sometimes feel like a poker game with a dealer who won't tell you the rules? Does the sky seem empty when you cry out in desperation? Maybe the quotes pick up what your friends and family think. God is an imaginary friend you leave behind when you grow up. Or God is intolerant, sexist, homophobic and violent. We've heard a lot about how God is apparently like that in the media. What sort of picture do we believe of God here at TPC? As we hold out to our community a picture of God, what are we going to say about this God that we follow? And what about you personally? How do you picture God? What is God like in your view? If someone were to ask you to describe God, what would you say? And how do you know? How do you form your picture of God? What is it based on? How is it that you can say what God is like in the first place? Psalm 103, another song for our soul, paints a stunning, beautiful, clear picture of God. So let's see how the Bible presents God and how it compares to our picture and maybe to the picture of God in society as well. But before we do that, let's pray that God will actually help us. Please pray with me. Heavenly Father, we do thank you that you speak to us, that you teach us about yourself, and that we can know you. That is such a privilege, Lord. Father, please help us now to have an accurate picture of who you are and what you've done for us. Please speak to us, speak to our souls, that we might give you the praise that you deserve. Amen. So how do you picture God? On your outline, you'll see that we're going to start with the works of the Lord, then move on to the character of the Lord. But as Christian people, we believe that the Old Testament is always pointing towards the New Testament. So we're going to do that as well before returning to a call to praise the Lord at the end. So first, the works of the Lord. The composer of the psalm, King David, writes at the end of verse 2, if you have a look there, "Forget not all his benefits." And then in verses 3 to 7, we see the benefits of the Lord. His works in verse 6. His ways and his deeds in verse 7. His actions. In other words, you can know the Lord through what he does, his works. So what are his works and his ways? Well, follow along with me. Verse 3, David says that God forgives all our sins. For all the ways that we sin against God, that we personally rebel against God, that we reject his rule, God meets us with forgiveness. Now, that's no small thing. You know, we find poor driving hard to ignore. let alone being robbed or cheated or hurt, to meet sin with forgiveness all the time, that's stunning. But that's only the beginning, isn't it? Verse 3 again, God heals all your diseases. Now, it's a bit of a tricky idea to grasp. So let me say that in the wider picture of the Bible, we see passages like this are not so much a guarantee of instant healing, but part of a bigger picture that God will deal with all the wrong in this world, including sickness and disease. God promises to fix up the world and heal disease, and that is a great benefit. Our timing might not be his timing, but his healing, you know, maybe in heaven, not so much on earth. I think it's more of a bigger promise than an instant guarantee, but it's a big question. If you want to talk more about that later, we can chat. Verse 4, more of God's works. It says that he redeems your life from the pit and crowns you with love and compassion. Okay, he redeems. He rescues. He restores. And in particular, I think David has in mind the Exodus, when Israel were redeemed from slavery. Verse 5, they sort of just pile on top of each other. Verse 5, God satisfies your desires with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. That's a beautiful image. It's an amazing picture of God. We don't deserve this. But God is a God who satisfies and fulfills our desires, our longings, with good things. So that our youth is renewed like an eagle. Verse 6, it just keeps coming. This verse, I think, is a bit of a climax of this section. What are God's benefits, his ways, his works? The Lord works righteousness and justice for all the oppressed. In case you don't know, that idea of righteousness sort of sums up the saving work of God. He puts everything right again. And that's all we long for, isn't it? For everything to be made right again. That's the work of the Lord. That's what he made known to Moses and Israel, verse 7. So how do you picture God? This little section overflows with just how wonderful the Lord is. It's almost too hard to take it all in. Psalm 103 tells us about the breathtaking love of God for his people. And it makes a really important point, I think. Here's the point. Your picture of God must be based on his works. Let me say that again. Your picture of God must be based on his works. Your view of God must be formed from how he's acted. You can't develop a picture of God based on your own experiences or your own thoughts, which sadly I think is what most people do. The more I talk to people, the more I'm shocked that their view of God isn't based on anything in particular, except ideas that they picked up from their parents or friends or from books and movies. I mean, what a stupid way to develop a picture of God. Now, we need to say that John Lennon's view of God is wrong. God is not something in all of us. Terry Pratchett's view of God is distorted. He's not like a dealer who won't tell you the rules of the game. And despite what George Weinberg thinks, God is not intolerant, sexist, homophobic, or violent. You can't make up your own picture of God. Your view of God must be based on his works, how God's worked through history, through Israel, through the kings and the prophets, and ultimately how he worked through Jesus, as we'll see a little later on. And that all means that you need to develop your picture of God from the Bible. That's where you can hear about God, where you can read about his works and learn about the amazing benefits he showers upon his people. Let me just take you through some of them again. Forgiveness, healing, redemption, love, compassion, satisfaction, righteousness, and justice. Oh, isn't that a beautiful picture of God? They are the works of the Lord, recorded in the Bible, so that you can know God. And of course, you know what that means, right? Get into your Bible. The simple act of reading the Bible every day is how you can know God and his works. And if you want friends and family to get to know God, get them into the Bible. You can have a philosophical discussion, that's fine. But nothing beats opening the Bible and saying, look, this is God. This is what he's like. This is what he's done. Based on his works, Psalm 103 then moves on to the character of the Lord. So second point, the character of the Lord. Let's start with grace. Verse 8 is actually a quote from Exodus 34. I'm not sure if you picked that up. When God appeared to Moses on Mount Sinai, revealed himself as the Lord. So God passes before Moses. And from Exodus 34, verse 6, God proclaims, the Lord, the compassionate and gracious God, slow to anger, abounding in love and faithfulness. That's a really great summary picture of who God is. Now, Psalm 103 says that God is compassionate. He's not selfish, only looking out for number one. He's thoughtful and caring and kind. He's also gracious, it says there. He shows undeserved kindness. In a world where I'll scratch your back if you scratch mine, God is gracious. He doesn't just love us when we love him. He shows gracious, undeserved, over-the-top love. God is slow to anger, which always hits me between the eyes. That's a really powerful idea there. When we fly off the handle, God who has every reason to be angry at the state of our lives and the state of the world, God is slow to anger. And God is abounding in love. He's not just a little bit loving, he's overflowing in love. God is a bottomless well of love for you. It really is a stunning verse. Worth writing out and sticking on a window or a fridge or whatever works for you. You can see there verses 9 and 10 build on the picture of who God is in light of what we deserve. Have a look there. When we look at who we are, we see God's grace shine through even more. So even though we should bear his judgment and anger, God doesn't treat us as our sins deserve. He doesn't repay us according to our sins. That's grace, friends. God doesn't just show you overflowing compassion and love. He shows you compassion and love when you deserve the opposite. When we deserve hell, he offers heaven. Now, as much as I'd like to take my time, I'm going to fly through the next few verses. From verses 11 to 13, we see the magnitude, the size of his love. There's three as verses you can see there. As high as the heavens are above the earth, that's how great his love is for you. As far as the east is from the west, and that's a big distance, so far has he removed your transgressions from you, your sins. And as a father has compassion on his kids, so God has compassion on you. It reminds me of the children's book, Guess How Much I Love You. Has anyone read that? A few people? It's pretty mushy, but that's okay. Little Nut Brown Hare says to Big Nut Brown Hare, guess how much I love you. Little Nut Brown Hare says, this much. But Big Nut Brown Hare has longer arms. So Little Nut Brown Hare tries reaching high, reaching to his toes, hopping. But Big Nut Brown Hare always does more. Eventually, Little Nut Brown Hare goes with, I love you, right up to the moon. And Big Nut Brown Hare whispers, I love you, right up to the moon and back. Whatever you can think of to describe the magnitude of God's love, his love for you is bigger. His love for you is bigger. A part of the character of God comes out compared to our frailty. So in verses 14 to 16, it's just this really humbling picture of who we are. So we are dust. We're like grass. Like flowers, which the wind just blows over. So frail, so fragile, so weak. Now, some might feel this more than others through sickness or injury or age, but it's a reality that we all face. We are frail creatures, which is a great reminder when we get too ahead of ourselves, I think. Even in a psalm like this, we can tend to put ourselves at the center. We're good at turning back on ourselves. God loves me. God forgives me. He's a great God for me. But these three verses set that right. That they speak into our pride and our self-centeredness. We are nothing. The Lord, he is God. And that's how this section finishes. In comparison to our frailty, we see his eternity. Verses 17 to 19, from everlasting to everlasting, the Lord's love is with those who fear him. Now, we might be blown over by sickness, by hardship, by death even. But God's love for us endures into eternity. His throne, verse 19, his throne, his kingdom, rules over all. God is eternal in love and in power. So, how does your picture of God compare to his works and his character in Psalm 103? There's a show on ABC3 called Catfish. There's a picture of it on the screen. Has anyone seen it? Catfish? Apparently a catfish is a person who creates fake profiles on social media using someone else's pictures and using their personal information, pretending to be someone they're not. So the show is all about the hopeful, this person who appears on the show to discover whether their online romance is who they say they are, or a catfish. The hosts, Nev and Max, do some research, and they inevitably go and actually meet the person. And of course, the picture that the hopeful had of their online romance is never the reality. In some cases, with really shocking differences. You can't base your picture of God on false ideas, on wishful thinking, or personal experiences. In small ways, and maybe sometimes in big ways, our picture of God is not like reality. And our picture of God is too important to get wrong. Here's some false views of God that I think might be common. I'll see if you agree. God is not distant and separate and uncaring, like talking to an empty sky. That's a common view. God is not a harsh judge who pays you back when you slip up. I think that's another really common view, even among Christians. God is not small, as if you can relate to him on your own terms, you know, when it suits you. And God is not a myth, an imaginary friend you can take or leave. Now, these might be common views. And you know what? These views, they might have been developed based on significant hardship, or maybe they're based on a significant person that's been passed on to them. But friends, they're not true pictures of God. Our picture of God must come from his works and his character, which we can read about in the Bible. In a nutshell, God is compassionate and gracious, slow to anger, and abounding in love. That's God. But, we haven't said enough yet, have we? Third point, the Son of the Lord. As brilliant as Psalm 103 is, our picture of God is actually still in black and white. Or it's still in standard definition when these days you have Ultra HD or 4K, whatever the latest technology is. Psalm 103 it is not enough. Because in the fullness of time, God himself, just contemplate that for a second, it's almost too good to be true. God himself came into this world in the person of his son Jesus. Check out these verses which show that Jesus is the picture of God. John 1:18. No one has ever seen God, but the one and only Son, who is himself God, as in closest relationship with the Father, has made him known. Colossians 1:15, the Son is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. Or Hebrews 1:3, the Son is the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of his being, sustaining all things by his powerful word. Here's just one example of where we see the grace and love and compassion of God in the life of Jesus. So in Matthew 9, there's a little summary of his ministry, verses 35 and 36. Jesus went through all the towns and villages, teaching in their synagogues, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom, and healing every disease and sickness. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them, because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. In his works and in his character, Jesus is the picture of God. That's where you need to look to know God. And that's a really crucial point, I think. It's one thing to compare the Old Testament to standard definition and Jesus to Ultra HD. But to describe your God, our God, the Christian God, without reference to Jesus, that's not a true picture. And if we can follow the story right through to the end, we see this picture perfected in full glory at the cross. It's at the cross that Jesus demonstrated ultimate love for you by bearing your sin, by absorbing your punishment, dying in your place. Is that where you look for your picture of God? It's a bit upside down, isn't it? How do you know God? Look at the cross. That's where you can see God. In the crucified King, you come face to face with God. I sometimes hear that Toby looks like me and that Gabby looks like Cara. We say that sort of thing, don't we? We say a son is a spitting image of their father, or a daughter is just like her mum. That's true of Jesus. The Son, crucified and risen, is the perfect picture of his Father in heaven. Now, I know it's a little hot, but can you see how important this is? Christians are more than people who believe in God. And here at TPC, we are followers of Jesus. We live with Jesus as our Saviour and King. We confess with our mouths that Jesus is Lord and believe in our hearts that God raised him from the dead. So please make sure that your picture of God is centred on Jesus. Without Jesus, the screen short circuits and goes black. God is compassionate and gracious, yes. He is slow to anger and abounding in love, yes. And we see that focused in Jesus. Make sure as well that you share the truth of who Jesus is and what he's done. Not just your thoughts on God. I can sometimes slip into that because it's a bit safer. This is God. He's loving. He loves you. If you talk about anything, name drop Jesus. That's who God is. It may well be this afternoon that you've realised that your picture of God is not the picture of God that we see in Jesus, in the pages of the Bible. If that's the case, that's okay, but please change. Don't be like those people in the video clip at the beginning. Reform your picture of God. You can speak to me, you can speak to someone else, so that you can learn more about who Jesus is, and what he's done, and why you should follow him. Finally, given the works of the Lord, given the character of the Lord, perfectly represented for us in the Son of the Lord, what's to be our response? What do we do with this? Psalm 103, hopefully you picked it up at the beginning and the end there. Psalm 103 calls us to praise the Lord. Have a look at verses 1 and 2. Back into the text there. Psalm 103, verses 1 and 2. Praise the Lord, my soul. All my inmost being, praise his holy name. Praise the Lord, my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Can you see what David's doing here? He's sort of stirring himself up. His inmost being, his whole self, to praise the Lord, to worship and glorify and honour God, to adore God, to give thanks to God. And the psalm ends in that way as well. Verse 20, praise the Lord, you his angels, you mighty ones who do his bidding, who obey his word. Praise the Lord, all his heavenly hosts, you his servants who do his will. Praise the Lord, all his works everywhere in his dominion. Do you get the picture? Praise the Lord, my soul, says David. Now, if you've been following me, if you've grasped the depths of this psalm, if you've understood this part of God's word, then the natural response is just to overflow with praise to God. It's like when you get a song stuck in your head and you just can't help singing it, as annoying as that can be. It just keeps coming out. We've been given a new song that should fill our minds and our hearts and overflow in praise to God. in case it still sounds a little abstract, let me just say to pray simply means that throughout your day, you take moments, lots of moments, when you pause and just tell God how awesome He is. As you read the Bible in the mornings, as you exercise, as you work, as you chat with people over a drink, as you sit around the dinner table, take opportunities to praise God. In a simple prayer, in song, in your conversations, show heartfelt appreciation. That's what praise is. Heartfelt appreciation for who God is and what He's done for you. I mean, there's evidence everywhere. And you can read it every day in the Bible as well. Friends, we really do have an amazing God in Jesus. We have the perfect picture of God in Jesus. Isn't that a privilege? Compassionate and gracious, slow to anger, abounding in love. Praise the Lord, my soul, all my inmost being. Praise His holy name. In a moment, we're going to sing and praise God, and I hope you can do that with gusto. But let's just pause now and pray to God and praise Him in that way. Please pray with me. Heavenly Father, it's really great to be here. It's really great to open Your Word together. It is a little hard in the heat, but even in that situation, Lord, we just want to pause and take this opportunity right now to praise You. Father, thank You that You are a wonderful, amazing God. Thank You so much for being compassionate and gracious to us. Thank You that You don't treat us as our sins deserve, that You just love us all the time. And thank You so much, Lord, that we can see who You are and what You've done for us so clearly in Jesus. Now please forgive us for the ways that we do get distracted and we present a picture of You that's distorted. Keep us coming back, please, back to Your Word. Help us to point each other to Your Word, to say, yes, this is Jesus, this is God. Father, we want to follow You in all Your glory and might. Help us to praise You wherever we go, by ourselves, with other Christians, and to people who don't know You yet. Please have everything that you, who You are and what You've done for us just overflow from us, that our lives will just be full of praise to You. Father, thank You again for who You are and what You've done for us. Amen.